Seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I'll direct you to Psalm 37 and the 7th verse. Psalm 37 and verse 7. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Psalm 37 and verse 7. Rest in the Lord, wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. We are told by the Holy Spirit in this chapter that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And in these first 8 verses, we have 6 important steps, which I believe each of the children of God will need through their lives. The first is, fret not thyself. How often we do, don't we? Secondly, trust in the Lord. Oh, may the Lord grant to us that living faith to trust in him. Thirdly, delight thyself also in the Lord. You know, if we are truly born of God, he will make himself our soul's delight, so we can delight in him, because all the sinner's hope and salvation is in their dear Redeemer. And then fourthly, commit thy way unto the Lord. The way that is with thee, the way that you're in. Don't try and manage it yourself. Commit it to the Lord. And then our text, rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for him. Oh, to be found resting in the dear Redeemer. Well, I want to look at that in a moment. But then finally, and this is a very searching word, he says in verse 8, cease from anger and forsake wrath. Anger resteth in the bosom of fools, the word of God tells us. And we need much grace to be kept from anger. And you see, these steps that I have just hinted at are what the Lord has said, not what I've said. Well, as help, let us look briefly at this text. Rest in the Lord. Beautiful words, aren't they, really? Clear words of instruction for his dear children. And I want to look at it in 3 ways, if we may be helped. Firstly, it means this. The margin tells us, be silent to the Lord. That doesn't mean we haven't got to pray or speak to the Lord. What does it mean? It means to be submissive to his mind and his will. We think of that beautiful word in Psalm 46. Be still and know that I am God. In other words, rest in the Lord. Be submissive to him and to what he has appointed. And we need much grace to do that, don't we? To rest in him, to be submissive. I often quote that couplet of the hymn, to lie passive at his dear feet and know no will but his. And you know, when this text dropped in earlier this week, I had thought I would preach from it on Thursday, but the Lord took that out of my hands and we venture with it this morning. But oh, to be resigned to his mind, to his will, in all things, resting in the Lord, not rebelling against him. You see, we've got an old nature that soon rebels when we come into adversity and temptation and trial, affliction, difficulties, and we soon rebel, don't we? Our old nature does. We think of what the hymn writer said, rebellious thou hast been, and art rebellious still, but since in love I took thee in, my promise, I'll fulfill. And may the Lord remove from us all that rebelliousness, you see. You go back to the children of Israel as they went through the wilderness. They were a rebellious people. But the Lord, you know, if we're his, he knows how to knock all that rebelliousness out of us. So we have to rest in him and lie passive at his dear feet, submissive, you see. If you want a sweet pattern of this, you look in the dear Lord Jesus himself. How submissive he was to his Father's will. What do we read in Psalm 40? I delight to do thy will, O my God. And you think of the dear Redeemer in the Garden of Gethsemane. In all the agonies of soul, of body, of mind. Father, he says, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And oh, how submissive the dear Redeemer was in all the times that he was reviled and persecuted. He always gave the other cheek, and submissive to whatever was appointed for him in the wondrous work that he had to do here and in the salvation of his dear people. So he says here, and may the Holy Spirit convey the reality of it to your soul and to mine. Rest in the Lord. Tender, humble at his dear feet. You know, when the Lord removes from us all rebelliousness, he'll bring us right down. So we are tender lion at his dear feet, submissive, desiring to know no will but his. You know, the Lord Jesus taught the disciples in that prayer we often refer to as the Lord's Prayer, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." It's a good prayer, that is, you know. And oh, we need grace to pray it, don't we? And the Lord knows how to bring us into this beautiful word, rest in the Lord. And it may be there are those here this morning that have things, and you may say, why have I had to come into this? To make you rest in him. And that's a wonderful place, you know. It's a secure place. But the second aspect of this is this. The soul that rests in the Lord is leaning hard upon him. It's like the spouse in the Song of Solomon. Who is this that cometh up from the wilderness? The spouse of Christ, his beloved bride. But how was she coming up? Leaning upon her beloved. Resting on him, you see. Why? Because all her hope, all her salvation was in the dear Redeemer. You know, if you and I are resting in the Lord, we're leaning hard upon him. And the harder the child of God leans, the more they prove his faithfulness, the more they prove his goodness. If we're leaning on anything else, it'll fail. Rest in the Lord. This is a good foundation, you see, for the sinner. Resting in the Lord. And we need the Lord to take away all the other props that we may be resting on. You know, it's easy to rest on self, isn't it? Or something base, the hymn writer said, instead of trusting sovereign grace. The wise man in the Proverbs, he so beautifully speaks of him, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. You know, we live in a day where there's so much natural knowledge, and man, being like he is, soon leans to his own understanding. And there's so many in religious circles today that they're trying to fathom the word of God out by natural understanding, but you never can. It's resting in the Lord for him to unfold his will, to him to unfold his purposes, for him to teach the sinner. And the harder the child of God leans, the more they approve his goodness to them. So as you think of the future, you think of the unknown way, you think of the things that may be before you, venture as the Lord helps you. Leaning upon him, resting in the Lord. You think of a little babe in its early days of life. It's dependent upon its mother, isn't it? She does everything for it. And feeds it, changes its clothing, washes it. It's dependent upon her. It rests in her arms. You know, there's no arms to a babe like the arms of its mother. You often see a little babe that's passed around from different ones, even close in the family. And he knows the difference, you know, between his mother's arms and others. There'll be those that'll soon cry. And think about it spiritually. Oh, to be like that little babe, submissive to his mother and to what she feels best for it. And so the child of God is to the Lord, resting in him. And two, that little babe feels the security. And so does the child of God, secure in the arms of the Lord as they rest in him. We looked at the other week, didn't we, those beautiful words, the eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. Oh, to be found resting in those arms. Because those arms will never fail you. What does the hymn writer say? When thy eye of faith is dim, rest thou on Jesus, sink or swim. And he'll never fail. Them that rest in him. Oh no. But then the third aspect of this is this. It's a beautiful word to the weary soul. Resting in the Lord. You know, Jesus said, didn't he, in that beautiful promise while he was here upon the earth, come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I will give you rest. And there may be those of you this morning have many things that may be in providence, may be in your soul, in the pathway, in the family, in the church of God that toss you around and you feel so weary by it all. It's like an old person, the older they get, the weaker they get, the more frail they get. They know their weakness and they need rest. They can't do as they once did. But there is a blessed resting place for poor sinners. When you're buffeted by Satan, buffeted by sin, plagued with unbelief, a deceitful heart that so perplexes you, and you are so weary. You know, there are many troubles that make us weary, aren't they? We're weary of them. But our poor soul, there's this blessed resting place where you can rest in the dear Redeemer. You can cast all your soul upon him, knowing that he will give you rest. And then, of course, there is the eternal rest for his dear children. What do we read in the things in the book of Job? Where the weary shall rest. The wicked cease from troubling. There the weary shall be at rest. There's an eternal rest for the children of God in heaven, where they can rest forever with the dear Redeemer. Rest from all the sin that troubled them while here below. Rest from all the opposition of Satan. Rest from all the afflictions, from all the trials. The Lord has given his dear people and he's laid up for his dear people an eternal rest. But while they are here, what a sweet word of exhortation to the seeking, longing child of God. Rest in the Lord. Rest in the Lord. Don't rest anywhere else, poor soul. Why? Because it'll fail. The soul that rests in Christ. We hope to sing, and it comes to one's mind, so I will name it, like the dove. You know, I often think of that dove, you know, when Noah sent her forth and the floods were still upon the earth. She found no rest, did she, for the sole of her foot. And what did she do? She didn't give up, nor were the child of God. She returns to the ark. There was her resting place. There was her security. There was everything she needed. And that ark is a beautiful type of the Lord Jesus. And what do we sing in the hymn? In the ark the weary dove found a welcome resting place. Thus my spirit longs to prove, rest in Christ, the ark of grace. Rest in the Lord. And she could, couldn't she? And you may be weary today because of sin and those sins that beset you. And inward sins, outward sins that plague us. But oh, to be found resting in him. Sweet place of safety. But I must go further. He doesn't leave it there, does he, the Holy Spirit? Dear David could well write this because he knew what it was to need rest from the onslaughts of Saul and of Satan, the many trials he had to go through. Rest in the Lord. And wait patiently for him. Wait patiently. It's a good exhortation, isn't it, to wait patiently. I may have said to you before, but when I was 9, I broke my right arm and I had to go back to the hospital to see the specialists. And in those days, you know, everybody's appointment was at a particular time, which mine was 2 o'clock, and everybody else that got a broken limb was 2 o'clock. And I remember we sat on 39 chairs. And I said to my mother, why have we got to wait so long? And I never forget what she said to me. She said, my boy, it's about time you learn patience. You know, it went right home. I've never forgot it, you know. Learn patience. And here he says, and wait patiently. You know, may the Lord help me just to briefly hint at a few things. Firstly, you wait patiently for the Lord to appear for you, to remove all that sin that weighs you down. Wait patiently for him. A time he has set, you see, to heal up thy woes. A season most fit his love to disclose, until he is ready to show his goodwill. Be patient. and steady and wait on him still. Oh, you wait patiently, dear soul. The day will come when he will breathe pardon and peace into your poor soul. And oh, the difference there will be then. Instead of all the burden and weight and distress and sorrow, oh, the joy there will be within you. Wait patiently for him. You see, he has an appointed time to appear, and we've got to wait patiently, haven't we? And then it may be you have to wait patiently for him to answer your prayers. You may say, like Jeremiah, I cry and shout, and all my prayer he seemeth to shut out. Poor soul, you wait patiently. He tarries off till men are faint and comes at evening late. Wait patiently for him. And he will honour them that wait patiently, you know, for him. You think of dear Hannah, she didn't wait in vain for her Samuel, did she? But she needed a lot of patience to wait, didn't she? The trouble is with us, we want everything, if you're anything like me or like everything done now. And I say to my shame sometimes, I haven't a lot of patience. But oh, I hope I've known when it is the Lord has given me a little patience. But you know, dear Hannah, she had to wait patiently, didn't she? For the Lord's time to come. When he would appear. And those of you that may be tempted, sore by Satan, and you have to wait patiently for the Lord to cast him out and to make bare his arm and work for you and in you. And then we need to wait patiently, don't we, for the Lord to fulfill his promises. You think of dear Abraham, all the years that passed from when the Lord said to him, as he looked into the heavens and saw those stars, so shall thy seed be. He gets old and Sarah gets old too. Naturally they knew it was impossible the promise would ever be fulfilled. And you know, often the Lord brings his dear children when he gives them a promise to the point where they know, naturally speak, it's an impossibility for the promise to ever be fulfilled. They come to the end with it. They come to the end, you and I do. But the Lord didn't. And he didn't with Abraham. He didn't with Sarah, did he? And you think of that beautiful chapter in the book of Genesis, chapter 18, I think it is, where the Lord came down to them. And he said to Abraham, Sarah, thy wife shall bring forth a son. Sarah laughed, didn't she? But you know, the Lord was to fulfill it, and it was his time. The time had come, you see. That's that beautiful word, and I'll never forget your late beloved pastor preaching from it at Staplers, at the baptising of my uncle. Thou shalt arise. and have mercy upon Zion, for the time to favour her, yea, the set time has come. Wait patiently. You know, there were those in the church at Staplehurst that had waited 18 years for that day. And the Lord wonderfully fulfilled it. That's a beautiful word, you know. Thou shalt arise. You think of that Psalm 102, the darkness and sorrow the dear psalmist had been in, all the depths, and then how the Lord appeared. And he looks above it all to heaven for the Lord's appearing. And he says, thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion, for the time to favour, yea, the set time had come. Wait patiently for him. And it may be in things in providence. It may be regarding a husband or regarding a wife. You young ones, wait patiently, you see, for the Lord. It's a beautiful word, and Mr. Mulvey often used to quote it. He that believeth shall not make haste. You know, we're often in a rush, aren't we? We want this and we want that done. But you know, we need patience to wait for the Lord's appearing. It may be in some particular matter today, while the Lord's given me this text, you've got to wait patiently for him. And when the time comes, you'll be able to bless and praise his holy name like Hannah did, and like Abraham and Sarah did. There is a time, you see, to praise him. And those that wait patiently for him will prove the wonders God alone can do. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. And then he goes further. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. You know, this is a word that so often we need, isn't it? Fret not. And maybe those of you this morning, why the Lord has laid this on me, there are those things that are making you fret. We're often fretting on about this and about that, sometimes about small things. That's about, sometimes about things that we no need to fret over. I remember preaching from this first verse at Ashwell some years ago now, and a dear lady, you know, she come up full of trouble that Lord's Day morning. I knew nothing of it at all. Got a lot of trouble in her family. And she came up full of fretting to the house of God, fretting about this and that and something else. And I took from my text, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. And, you know, the Lord, I dwelt really the whole discourse on this, fret not thyself. And, you know, after the service, she was so broken down, and she said, it was just as though you knew everything. And I knew nothing, but the Lord knew. And he knew why to give me the word to bring. And it may be there's one here this morning. There are those things, you look at the future, you look at your pathway, you look at the things you've got to go through. And those of us that have hospital appointments, and those that have know they've got things before them, and we soon fret in, aren't we? But he is the antidote to it. And think of dear David, how he fretted many times when he looked at Saul and the armies of the Philistines and so on against him. Fret not thyself. And you know, we find it three times recorded by the Holy Spirit in the first eight verses of this chapter. Fret not thyself. And we need, don't we, much grace to be given so we're not fretting. But, oh, may the Holy Spirit whisper that, fret not thyself. Why had we not got the fret? Well, let me just briefly explain it. Because David, the reason he hadn't got to fret here was because it was all in the Lord's hand. We sing, don't we? All events at his command. And, you know, when we can feel like David did, and we read in Psalm 31, is it not, where it says, my times are in thy hand. And when we can feel our times and all events are at his command, in his hand, we've no need to fret. Oh no. You think of the disciples when they were tossed around in the sea. They were soon fretting, weren't they? And so would we have been if we'd been like them in that sea. But it was all in the Lord's hand, you know. You know, I often think of that case because the sea was in his hand. The wind was in his hand. The waves were in his hand. Their souls were in his hand. Their bodies. The ship was in his hand. We often forget that, don't we? All events at his command. You know, there's nothing that the child of God have come into by chance. And yet we come into this and we're fretting. Because we forget it's in his hands. And the hand of the Lord for the disciples was to work wondrously, wasn't it? And he took away all their fretting. And he reproved them because of their unbelief. Where is your faith? And often we're fretting because we haven't got any faith. And I don't say that lightly, because one knows what it is to fret oneself. And how we need the Lord to give us faith to look to him, faith to lean upon him, faith to believe he will appear. Well, I shall have to leave because of the time, but may the Holy Spirit bring home these three realities to us this morning. Rest in the Lord. That's the first. Secondly, wait patiently for him. And thirdly, fret not thyself. And it's not my word, sinner. It's the Lord's word. Amen.